The time says 1 minute, 35 seconds. I'm joking. Okay, they're chained. All right, let's just say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this great conference. Thank you for the visioner. Thank you for your spirit that revealed your plan unto him for these end times. Thank you that Jesus is being glorified in this place. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you grant unto me an utterance that I will add unto all that has happened here, that I will speak as your oracle in simplicity, but with accuracy and power, that our hearts will be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I first of all, thank Bishop Francis Waleoke. All right? He's that people do not know. First time I ever saw him or met him, I grew up in Ibadan, and his ministry was based in Ibadan. I saw a small poster in the church I was attending, and it was Holy Ghost Convention in this place in Ojo. For that was the first time I ever saw with my two eyes. Pastor, he was in a small, uncompleted building because I was bent on listening. All right. And those conferences were once in a year. So much I can say about what he has contributed to the body of Christ. He's a man void of guile, void of anything, who truly wants to see the next generation lifted. Let's put our hands together for Bishop Francis Waleoke. And also let me thank all the members of the executive of PFN for supporting this conference. And also I want to thank the younger ministers who organized this conference. There's no need to mention names, but I must tell you I was surprised at the administrative and organizational skills of some of those people. I was seriously impressed. So let's put our hands together for those young people who put this thing together. All right, my mandate, and I'll be quick on it, is to speak on ministry and character. And speech on this. I must tell you how much I enjoyed your wonderful speech. It has been on my mind all. Madam confessed the Prime Minister. That powerful speech has been on my mind for 20 years. A great English evangelical said in the last century, in the matter of Christian development, there is no shortcut to reality. The husbandman builds into the believer that which he intends to minister through him to others. To minister life to others, what one does and one says must flow from what one is. I'll tell you two stories here. Around 1989, I think, or 1990, I went with a friend to the University of Lagos, so a primary school then, about the subject he was teaching on. And at the end of it, my friend looked at me and we started going back to Lagos. And he said, my life has changed. I said to him, what? He said, I'm going back. And when we got to campus, he started rearranging his room. He put on your pastor ministered to me. I said, but what he said had nothing to do with tidying your room. You see, it was spirit to spirit. It was just a mental understanding of the scriptures. Something left the heart of this man and entered into the heart of that man. To have a transformational ministry, character is a must. In other words, if your teaching will transform people, not just educate them, not just excite them, but transform their lives, then character. Brother Copeland said, ministers listening to his messages and repreaching his messages, and he said, under a greater teaching anointing. But it was less than what was happening in his own ministry. Now, but when they preach, people will be excited, and there will be a lot of excitement and enlightened education. But when it came to transformation, which is our challenge, changing people. That is, people enter our churches and they are not. God told him, there are quality decisions you have made for me, they haven't made. And therefore, there is something you carry. You may say the same words, but the impact differs. So this brings me again to what this great evangelical, English evangelical, went on to say. He, in preparation of a sermon, he said, my answer to them is 10 years. In other words, you must be the sermon. And it does take time for God to build into you. And you must understand that at the end of the day, I don't have time getting it, we will be judged on character and not on manifestations of the Spirit. Character is not manner of behavior. I'll show this here. You can fake behavior. We are not talking about manner of behavior. I can greet a man of God and bow my head and my heart is full of pride. To build character takes power. Words. I mean, I don't do that again, but you know, we used to teach with Greek. And the first handout we had on campus was the intrinsic ministry of the Spirit and the extrinsic ministry of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit in you and the work of the Spirit on the outside. We should have just said that. We didn't need intrinsic and extrinsic ministry. And Pastor Nia Adebola said it right. When the Spirit, look, when we talk about the power of God, we only talk about power of God in terms of the external change of person. That's why I go and read it in Timothy. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be one, two, he counted several things. Disobedient to parents, heady, high mind, oppression. They won't be like that. But there is a form of godliness you can have. That's not what we're saying. Jesus said it this way, that don't fake it. You either make the tree good and the fruit good. Character is not, it's about the tree in terms of than just manner of work in us. And that's what we all with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed. It's not the situation that changes. It is us that are what? Changed. Which means the Spirit of God is changing us. From one level of glory to another level of glory, then we can go and change our world. This is why when God calls, and I want particular young people to listen to this, and anoints apostle, he will many a times in scripture, when he intends to use that person for an apostolic work, after he anoints that person, he will set that person aside for years before he launches that person into their ministry. Example. Moses was to do apostolic work. It entered into the heart of Moses. He set him aside. 40 years in the wilderness. What was he building? Character. He took Joseph. What you are going to be do is apostolic. He showed the signs of being anointed and carrying grace. God set him aside. He took David. You are going to introduce a new order, which is what we call apostolic work. Right? He showed signs, killed Goliath and all of that. God said, listen, if you don't have character, the problems you're anointing will cause you. you will wish you were never anointed. He set him aside for years to build into him what he wanted him to do. And so I want to say this particularly to young people. Don't try to walk yourself out of your years of obscurity. Let me say this here. Social media is a two-edged sword. It is good when you have entered. But if you are trying to use it to create an impression, do you understand what I'm saying? Because I told someone, I said back then, if you get revelation, for your ministry to spread, you must pray, you must fast, you must, you know, for people to even know you. But now you can go on Facebook, you can sponsor it. You can see people in the airport and tell you, oh, I saw you on Facebook. Oh, I read your article, it was very good. And you will think you are in ministry. Let me just say this in passing. Somebody asked me, what time bad doctrine began to come into the country? And people began to push back against it. A young minister told me, he said, listen, pastor, he said, drop this thing. He said, he told me this, and people must understand social media and ministry. He said, on campus days, these things came, and they died themselves. I said, but those days on campus, you had to go from room to room preaching your bad doctrine. So for it to spread will take time. But now on social media, you can post it. That's why it's called viral. It's gone viral, which means it acts like a virus. Let me tell you, when I was going on television, I put on the TV and I was watching a program. And the devil spoke to me because, I mean, we are just paid to go on television and television is not cheap. And a minister, I saw him on TV and he said, we went on television. He said, for the first 7 years of us being on television, nobody, we got no mail from anybody. We got no letter from anybody. We didn't see anybody in the mall that said, we watched your program, we are blessed. No human being on this earth responded to our call. We put out, if you want counseling, nobody. To you, you are for, you say, for the next 7 years, nobody. But there is a history to everything you see. And so in closing, because I want to stick to time, what do you do? Where is character built? Let me just quickly say this. There are three feasts in the scriptures. The feast of Pentecost, the feast of weeks, the feast of unleavened bread, or the feast of Passover, that's in the Jewish calendar. The feast of Pentecost, or weeks, and the feast of ingathering. When you get saved, and it has this exact spiritual parallel, exact. When you get saved, you enter into the feast of Passover. In book of 1 Corinthians, it tells us, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Let us therefore keep that feast. So we are still keeping it in its spiritual dimension. 50 days after the Passover, he said, let's keep it with the unleavened bread that is free of malice, all right, and wickedness. 50 days after the Passover was the Feast of Pentecost. Now, we call this the Pentecostal movement because we are saying we have entered into that feast of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Those who didn't enter into that feast, please hear me, we call them evangelicals. In other words, what they are talking about is getting saved. But let me tell you one thing about them that we mustn't miss. Because they were evangelicals keeping the Passover, they made sure their heart was free of malice. They understood the importance of character. The Pentecost should only come on you after you have kept the Passover. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Because if you don't keep the Passover, you'll be speaking in tongues. But like the Bible says, you'll be a tinkling cymbal. It's after we have kept these two feasts that the last one will come, which is Jesus cried out on the last day of that feast. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers. It's called the Feast of Ingathering. Read church history in Nigeria. During the movement of people like Power Ayobabola, they will put out yams. People will sell in the market with nobody there. You will buy your products, put the money. Nobody stole anybody's thing. They may not have been doing Shagaba Ningretos like us, but they kept the Passover. Are you following what I'm saying here? You can't skip the Passover to the Pentecost. The original people who carried this movement, and I'm saying this to young people, started with SU, which was the evangelical movement. And when they received the Spirit, they received the Spirit to empower them to walk in the truth that the evangelicals were saying that they were struggling with. It was built on character. That's why Jesus said, you come and meet me at the end of the day. We work miracles. He'll say, you are workers of iniquity. Even when you are doing the miracles, it's your own glory you are looking for. Because a man can give all his goods to the poor. The Bible says, yet he's doing it from a motive that is wrong. The bread in him is leavened. And how then? I have to preach this because I tasted of SU before I tasted. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm a bridge builder. So we understood. We were raised by people who came out of the Scripture Union movement. How do you build character? Romans says, by faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand, in Romans 5. All right? He says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only do we rejoice in the hope of God's glory, but we rejoice in tribulation. For tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. The word experience there is character. In other words, when you are in a test, keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Make sure you walk in love towards every person. Make sure you show love to God. In other words, no matter what happens, God, nothing can separate me from your love. Tribulation, distress, death, nothing can separate me from your love. Make sure you walk in love towards people, regardless of what people did to you in the time. Bible says, keep it with sincerity and free of offense. That there will be no offense inside your heart. And finally, put the Bible before you and tell yourself, I will never use any underhanded method to get results. Do you understand what I'm saying? What the scripture says, I will do. The day I respected Brother Copeland, the day, and I'll close with this, I respected the man. He said his ministry was running in deficit of $1 million. And he stood before the largest meeting they used to have. Thousands of people were there. Now, the simple way to get out of it, which is what Paul was saying when he said, we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness and handling the word of God deceitfully. So you can deceive people with the word. He said when he stood there, he went to God. He could have raised money from the people. But what he said to God was, how come we are running in deficit of $1 million every year? He said, I went on a 30-day fast to find out what was wrong. Not simple solutions. He said, and as I was praying, God told me, 16 years ago, I told you to give 10% of everything that comes into this ministry out. He said, you jumped up rejoicing. You've heard from me. He said, but you didn't listen to the concluding part. He said, you practiced giving so heavy that it took 16 years for Satan to catch up with your error. but now he's caught up. Let me end it for you. He said, you are to give it to the poor. Go and do that. He said, once he started doing that, everything changed. Are you from Sydney? Give God glory. Walk in love towards people. And whatever he tells you, do it. Don't use underhanded methods. Don't let anybody push you into anything that will sear your conscience. Anywhere you see demonic spirits, seducing spirits, wrong doctrine, just before it, it talks about seared consciences. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this great gathering. Cause the vision you've placed in the heart of your servant to be established upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, I have been asked. I try to get myself out of this. I have to say this so that I'm free. They told me I'm the one that must do it. All right, so I want to introduce the next speaker, who is the General Overseer of the Redeemed Church of God.